Please be seated. Merry Christmas. Now, outside of this place, Christmas is over for much of the world. The exchanges have been made, the sparkling lights have started going off, at least on our street. The trees are stripped and left by the curb. A month of buildup for one shining day that, when it is over, leaves us with little more than credit card bills, the need for another storage facility, and those post-holiday blahs that have become so famous. But in here, it is still Christmas. The church's celebration of the Incarnation began in the dark. After sundown on the 24th, we began by singing to celebrate the breaking into the world of a new kind of light. We came to huddle together and say a shocking thing, that our God gave up power and glory to become a homeless, helpless baby born in a food trough. It was touching and sweet and candlelit and beautiful. And most of us went home to family and friends, to sparkling trees and piles of presents and tables mounded high with delicious things to eat and drink. But then Christmas kept right on rolling, and every day it just gets stranger. You see, the second day of Christmas is also known as St. Stephen's Day, the celebration of the life and death of the first Christian martyr. Stephen was stoned to death in Jerusalem before Christianity was even a movement, killed for his ludicrous claim that in the person of Jesus, son of a carpenter from Nazareth, he had met God. And then December 22nd, is the feast of John the Evangelist, who tradition says wrote the gospel that we just heard the first verses of this morning. Verses that speak of darkness and rejection from the first moments of his good news. And then December 28th, the third day of Christmas, the church remembers the Holy Innocents, the children who, according to Matthew's gospel, were murdered by Herod's order in a desperate attempt to hold on to worldly power and authority. So happy Christmas. Doesn't it all seem a little strange? All of that death and darkness marching straight onto the scene mere hours after we were singing sweet carols and tearing open brightly colored packages and feasting on turkey and ham and goose, as we in the church are still wishing one another Merry Christmas. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. John comes right out and says what Matthew and Luke imply in their stories of Jesus' birth. This is not the story of how darkness was cast out of the world forever. John tells us that following Jesus, worshiping him or believing in him, won't save us from pain or suffering. In fact, it might do just the opposite. Mary and Joseph, we remember, became a messy family. They broke cultural taboos, they endured hardship, they became refugees in Egypt, and ultimately gave up the dream of a normal life for God's dream of a new kind of world. The shepherds, we can guess, were changed forever. The wise men, who haven't arrived yet, but they're on their way, will fall into political intrigue, endure a dangerous journey, and leave changed as well. We don't even know from the gospel if they ever made it home safely. And then St. Stephen dies for his witness to Jesus' ministry. And legend has it that innocent children died, that an oppressive regime might go on for a few more years. And as I read all this week, thinking about this sermon, I was struck that none of it is hard to believe. Every morning this week on NPR, I have heard about the uprising in South Sudan, about child soldiers and war. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So the light of a secular Christmas celebration burns out as soon as the money and the enthusiasm to maintain it have waned. And for those without money or enthusiasm in the first place, its light never really gets going. But inside this place, the poinsettias still bloom, the wreath is still lit, not because we have more money or more enthusiasm or more time, but because we have found the secret to keeping all that glitter and perfection, but because the church's celebration of the incarnation is light that shines in the midst of darkness. Darkness we don't always want to see, but that we don't deny either. So following Jesus won't make our lives perfect, much as we wish that it would. Unfortunately, it doesn't mean that we'll get rich or famous, or we'll get the girl or the guy, or the house with the white picket fence, or the children that we want, or the parents that we want. Following Jesus doesn't mean that we get to dodge sorrow, or that our lives will be free of tragedy. It doesn't cure our depression or make our days perfectly happy and rosy. It doesn't even ensure a good future for people who think and act and believe the right way in this world. I mean, there are places where we can hear that message, but Scripture isn't one of them. Scripture gives us Job and John today, the Holy Innocents and Saint Stephen in Acts. Scripture gives us whole nations enslaved or countries obliterated. It pulls back the veil on human life and shows it for what it is, full of sin and sickness and loss, full of real darkness. Now, there used to be a theory. It came about during the Enlightenment, and it said we were on a path of progress, that human history had started in the bad and was on an upward trajectory toward the good, toward a perfect utopia, if we could just get progress far enough along. Now, things obviously didn't turn out the way they had predicted, and I think John would not have been surprised. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. John's word for us today, in the midst of the Christmas season, having just waded through all of those bright, shining days, and perhaps for you some dark nights, is that the darkness we see, that we fear in our own hearts, that lives in our lives and presses in around us, is real, but that we are not alone. Into the darkest human heart, God is born on Christmas. Into the place of the deepest darkness, a spark is struck. Because our God does not abandon us to darkness. John tells us that the God who made us and who loves us wouldn't leave us. The darkness didn't vanish when Jesus was born, but it was invaded, occupied. The light marched into darkness's inner sanctum, sat down, and has refused to budge ever since. The Word came into the world small and helpless and grew to be a man, human and vulnerable. God sacrifices everything. The power that made worlds and galaxies, the song of the whole universe, to live with us in the midst of our darkness, to prove to us that we are loved, beloved. Show us that no matter how deep the sorrow or how wide the rivers of violence, there would always be light, light that would not abandon us. And I think most important in this world, light that would never breed more darkness, that would cast no shadow. God came into the world as one without power and stayed that way, even at the cost of death, rather than make more darkness in a world overfilled with it. That is the story of Christmas for us today, of the light shining in the darkness, and the darkness that could not overcome it. There is light. In this world that is torn by violence, hunger, poverty, cruelty, hate, there is light. Light that will not go out, no matter how dark the night becomes. Light that won't reject or harm. Light that can burn in any place, can light up the darkest corner, brighten the dimmest heart. Light that will cast no shadow on the stumbling and do no violence to the weak. It simply burns, unfailing, unwavering, calling each of us out of the darkness over and over again. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never overcome it. In your joy, Merry Christmas. In your deepest sorrows, Merry Christmas. The Word has become flesh and dwelt among us, and through Him, we have been given power to become children of God. May grace be with you, for the Word is with us. The light of the world has settled in among us, and there is no darkness that can overcome us anymore. Amen.